Nation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, you don't just jump up and have a meeting like this some days and think, well, I'm just going to go over there next week. And no. This meeting happens over an entire year. And the prayers and the believing God and the churches that pray and the people that stand on the Word of God and those of you that pray and believe in the money to get here and the whole thing. And there's a lot of people involved in it. And so the church is supplying supportive ministry for these meetings. Save the Seed Ministries in Waldorf, Maryland, Dr. Cheyenne Freeman. Word of Grace Church in Herndon, Bill and Elaine Backaby. Victory Christian Ministries in Clinton, Maryland, Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. Praise God. Yes, amen. Victory Christian Church International, Gaithersburg, Maryland. Dwayne and Kit Brewington. Praise the Lord. Amen. And let's see, Harvest Fire Ministries, Middletown, Maryland. Jeff and Cindy Summers, pastor. Gathering Place in Herndon. Daryl and Kathleen Jordan. Word of Life Christian Fellowship in Concord, New Hampshire. Pastor Tom Peets. Victory World Outreach over Marlboro, Maryland. Jeff Wright is pastor there. Victory Christian Ministries in Washington, D.C. Tyrone and Cynthia Marshall. Abiding Word Ministries in Fort Washington, Maryland. And Pastor Coyote Peter is ministering and pastor there. Praise God. Amen. God bless these ministries. In the name of Jesus. Now, the death interpretation, the Gathering Place International, pastors Eric and Laura Menifee from Fort Worth, Texas. Praise the Lord. Amen. And they are part of our ministry, and we appreciate their work so much. And then Spanish interpretation. Sergio Alvarado. And Sergio is a staff member of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Praise the Lord. And we're just blessed. Now, on the guitar, Jared Atherton. Bass, Michael Manson. On the drums, Jim DeLong. Jim's been in this ministry a long time. On the piano, David Ellis. Wayne Stevens. Steve LaFleur on the keyboard, and you heard it's Candy's husband. He played the piano tonight. And then Wayne and Candy and Leo Lasecki and Regine Wilson, all singers on the platform. And then our longtime 30-year partner in the music of this ministry, Lynn Ming. Praise the Lord. Would you give all of these people, just give the Lord praise and thanks for them. Amen. Such committed and dedicated people. We are so, 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 so blessed. Praise God. Now, the workers in the parking lot. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those young men out there waving those lights around. Praise God. Look like an airport ramp out there. Oh, God bless them. God love them. I love every one of them. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, yeah. Amen. Gloria told me this. Next year's dates, November the 11th, 12th, and 13th, 2010, right here, in Jesus' name. Yes, amen. Right here in this place. And all of you on the internet, you be here next year. I don't know where we're going to put you, but you be here, praise God. We'll fill this parking lot up out here, praise God. And we do appreciate all of you on the internet. I got to tell you something else. The God Channel is here tonight. We're going out all over the God Channel tonight. Wendy and Rory Alec, I'll tell you, they have done such a marvelous, marvelous job of faith. When they all told us in Great Britain years ago, that one guy just kind of smiled and poked me on the chest like that and said, "I can tell you right now, you will never, ever be on television in Great Britain." I said, "Is that right?" Or something like that. They didn't know about Rory and Wendy. Just two kids that had the guts to believe God. And I'll tell you, the God Channel has spread this ministry and other ministries on television, not just all over Great Britain, but all over Europe, all over the nation of Israel. I mean, it's all over the world now. Amen. And Gloria and I claim them as our kids too, praise God. I was noticing this lineup of churches, Gloria. The pastors of these churches are our kids. Amen. They all belong to us. I'm proud of them too. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited. I said one time years ago, you know, I think I'd do this if I wasn't even called. The joy of the Lord is in preaching the gospel. Let's go back now. Jeremiah 17, would you please? Thank you, Lord. Now remember what we found out here in the Gospel of Luke. Let's hold your place there and let's look up the Gospel of Luke again, chapter 5. And while you're looking, you might turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Amen. Now, you remember a moment ago, the Lord had me make this comment. Motive is everything. What's behind it? You could be saying exactly the same words with a different motive behind them. Somebody else is saying them by faith and by the love of God and get totally two different results. If you remember, we won't take time to turn there, but if you will remember, there's scripture that says, this king did everything that God told him to do, but he did not have a willing heart. And as far as God was concerned, he didn't do anything right. Well, while another king that made some mistakes, and he did well. There was some things that he did really well, but the scripture said it named a couple of things there that he left undone that God told him to do, and he didn't do it. But he said he had, the King James said, a perfect heart. But if you look it up, perfect, actually what they were trying to translate was, God looked on his heart as if it was perfect. The word translated was willing. He had a willing heart. He made a bunch of mistakes. My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, said to me one day, and he just blurted this out at me. He said, "Kenneth, I've never made a mistake." I said, really? Yeah. Now, he said a lot of stuff I did turned out to be one. He said, you know, I never did get up, not one day in my ministry do I remember ever getting up and saying, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to make a mistake today. He said, I did with a willing heart before God what I honestly believed was right, and some of it turned out to be a mistake. But I had a willing heart before God, and he didn't count a mistake against me. Oh, man. It just threw the doors open for me. And I began to realize I needed to be willing to be willing in the areas that I did not want to do it all. I didn't want to go on the radio. God don't make me go on that radio. I don't want that. I thought I was already busy. And radio's a full-time job in itself. And I thought, oh, Lord. But, and the Lord did some things that helped me make up my mind. And I said, okay, Lord, all right. Yes, praise God. I can see that that's where you're going with this. And I'm willing to be willing. You just, yeah, but I need your help. My heart's open to you. And he did. Amen. And so, other things down through the years. Being willing to be willing. I'll tell you what I'm not willing to do. I am not willing to fail the will of God. I want his perfect will. I don't want anything to do with mine other than to will to do his will. I want my will so lined up with his that somehow mine just fades away and just plugs right in there. Now you practice that over a number of years by faith, and you come to that place where you develop a trust in him that his will is not for my bad. His will is for my good. His will is for my deliverance. His will is for my lifting up. His will is for my healing. His will is for my prosperity. His will is for the goodness of my family, praise God. Because I found out I'm supposed to be healed. I found out I'm supposed to be well. I found out if he sends me to the most poverty-stricken place on the face of the earth, and I've been there, and preached there, and I found out when he sent me there, he didn't intend for me to go over there and be poor like them. He intended for me to go over there and bless them with the word of God so they could prosper like God and me. Amen. That changed my whole outlook on the will of God. But religion will tell you, you better not pray the will of God be done in your life. Ain't no telling where he'll ever send you to $10 too. Well, I'll tell you what. If that's where you're supposed to be, $10 too is the greatest place on earth for you. Oh, yeah. I went over to get my teeth cleaned. And they set me down in that uncomfortable chair. And since then, they've gotten a better chair, but this is back when they had the other one. And I'm just laying there. They put that napkin around my neck, you know, and it got me laid back there. And I'm just listening to all this going on in here. And they're talking like I wasn't there. Have you ever had that? And I'm sitting there listening. And there were two people right behind the chair. And I couldn't see who they were. But I can hear them both talking right behind me, two women, and they're talking. And everybody in that office are Christian. Lovely people, wonderful people. One of them said, oh my goodness, she said, Sunday. She said, we just had such a marvelous service Sunday morning. She said, I just prayed and I said, oh Lord, I really need patience. Lord, help me with patience in my life. And this other girl said, my God, you didn't pray that, did you? She said, yeah, I did. I'm hearing all this. I mean, it's going on right here. See? When she said that, I wondered, does she know what patience is? I bet that just run through my mind. But then the other one said, my God, you didn't pray that, did you? She said, yeah, I did. You pray right now and take it back. Now, that is new. pray and take it back. She said, why? My Lord, she said, and she's hollering almost loud as I am right now. My Lord, there ain't no telling what God's going to put on you to teach you patience. There ain't no telling where He's going to send you. You're going to have more hell than you know how to stand. I thought, yeah, pray and take it back. Now, that didn't come out of a bad heart or an unwilling person. It came out of somebody that's religiously taught and scriptural, knowledgeless, didn't know what patience was. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And when you release it, and it's power. And it really, it's not, in the world, see, in our minds and in religion, it's you're going to have to put up with all of that to teach you how to just grit your teeth and just take it. And it has nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of patience is, and you see it throughout the New Testament, faith and patience, faith and patience, faith and patience. Those are the power twins. They're dependent on one another. Patience is being consistently, constantly the same. Day in, day out, by faith. You don't ever come off of your faith. You don't ever act any way except the way God's taught you to act on the Word. And you're like Jesus. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because you live on the Word. And the Word is the same. So patience is the spiritual force born in you at the time you were born again that will rise up in you and settle you. When you say, yes, I know they said that, but I'm standing on the Word. I know they did that. It has nothing to do with me. I walk in love and I walk in faith and I believe God. That's when it's so powerful. Somebody says, oh, what are we going to do? And you just say, have faith in God. That's the force of patience that rises up in you, catches a hold of your tongue, catches a hold of your mind, and just says, be still and know that He's God. Don't get all scattered out and go to running around, chasing around here and there and the other. Just stand on the Word. Having done all to stand, stand there. Well, now, the thing I'm saying here, this comes down in this same line with willing to be willing. When you find out that the Word of God is for your very best and patience will have its perfect work and you'll be entire wanting nothing. No, sir, I ain't praying and I ain't taking it back. I want that. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be entire and wanting nothing. Hallelujah. But this, the religious idea of patience that these two girls were talking about doesn't have anything to do with that. That's what I want. But I found out that's the will of God for me and for my family. And so now, after many years of development and so forth, you get to the place where I don't want to hear anybody else's will. I want His. He's my Lord and He's my Savior. And life is in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. But now back there when I didn't know that, I had to take it by faith. I had to learn how to do that. And y'all forgive me just saying, I got to hug my girlfriend here. Mama, I didn't know you were in the meeting.
Oh, I had to come.
I know you did.
You were so close.
You're so pretty.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too.
You're my darling. Gloria, did you know Mama was here? Huh? That Gloria right over there. Huh?
You got my package from the
team. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I'll be back, man. Now, how far is it from where you live to Billy's place in Missouri? What's about 1,200, 1,400 miles, something like that, ain't it?
How much?
1,200 miles, something like that. Yeah. She was in Branson, Missouri the other day at Billy Brim's meeting. And you going to let me tell them your age?
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead. You're the one that's supposed to tell it. Go on.
Well, I'll tell you
I
this.
Believe you.
I will tell you this. First of all, I'll tell you, she got in her car and drove down there to that meeting. It took 2 days to get there, you know. And she's well over 100. And I'll let her tell you how much serving God. Serving God. If this woman is praying, you better hope she's praying for you. She goes to praying against you, you ain't going to make it. Amen. I love you, darling. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what. She pray heaven and earth slap together. Praise God. Amen. That excites me. Now, a willing heart. God considers the same as a perfect heart. Because if you're willing, He can deal with you.
Amen.
He knows everything else. Your qualifications don't bother Him one way or the other. They don't impress Him in the first place. All your education or your lack of it doesn't mean anything to Him. He's qualified. And He's qualified to qualify you for whatever He wants done. He could make an astronaut out of a monkey in 20 minutes. You understand? I mean, He is not limited. You read in the Scripture, God could raise up children out of these rocks if the people don't praise Him. The only thing that limits God is your words being stout against Him. I asked Him one time, I said, Lord, I really would like to hurt Satan. Now, I don't know really how to do it. I can't get to him physically. What can I do? Really put a hurt on him. I was pretty ticked off at the moment. I said, what can I do? I really do want to hurt him bad. The Lord said, do him like you do me. I said, what? He said, don't do anything he tells you to do. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. He said, I have. But he said, you really want to hurt him, just refuse to do anything he tells you to do. So I made up my mind, that's what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. He tells me to do. Why, you know, you somebody said, well, Brother Copeland, the devil told me this. And I said, well, you got your answer right there. Don't do it. If he told you to do it, rebel. I'm as rebellious as I ever was. But I don't rebel against God. I rebel against the sin, sickness, demons, and disease of this world. And I'm extremely rebellious where the devil is concerned. Amen. Now then, that we've laid this groundwork here, let's walk across the Scriptures here. And let's go back over here to Luke 5. Now, first of all, always listen very carefully to what the Word is saying. You really need to go back over some of your most familiar Scriptures and exactly read them again. Sometimes you've been quoting them wrong for 20 years and didn't know it. Well, yes, Brother Copeland, He provides bread for the eater. He provides seed for the sower and multiplies the seed and so on. And that ain't what that says. But I said that for years. And finally, and even when I would read it and then I would quote it, I'd quote it wrong. It says, He ministers bread for the eater. He ministers seed for the sower. And He ministers the multiplying of the seed sown. He ministers it. That's a whole different thing than providing it. Because ministry tells you how He provides it. He is the minister of all His ministers. And we have been made kings and priests, kings and ministers unto our God. Praise God. We are ministers under His command. And we are His distribution network. That opens up that whole thing of grace. Amen. Oh, yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So what's the difference? You have to go back and translate the word Christ. That's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. The English translation of the Hebrew word Messiah and the Greek word Christ is anointing. Jesus is the anointed one, and this scripture is not referring to Him as the anointed one. It's referring to His anointing, which is in us. We are the body of Christ. That anointing, that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, the power of the blessing itself to remove the curse in your life that's residing on the inside of you. Glory be to God, I can do all things through that anointing that He has imparted into me. That changed everything. Amen? So, being very careful. Peter was not careful to hear what Jesus said. He said, cast in the nets. And he didn't intend to be obedient to this man when he heard him. He cast in the net. He was thinking all the time Jesus was talking. He's thinking about he worked all night long. He's thinking about he's hungry. He's thinking about he's tired. He's thinking about preachers don't know nothing about fishing on this lake. Surely they don't if they think you can catch fish in the daytime. And all of this is going through his mind. He's got all of this turmoil. He's got all of this mess in his mind. All of this unbelief and all of this religion and all this junk going through his mind all at the same time. And he's not listening to the man that is the very power of God standing there next to it. He just gave him something. He didn't spend any time thinking or praying about this. That's a hard working man. And he was probably proud of it. I'm a self-made man. I make deals. From time to time, I tell the pastor what to do. Because I have the best credit rating in the church. That's the reason you ain't on my board of directors. You may be on that church board, and if that's the reason the pastor put you on the church board, that church is in trouble. You ain't got no business telling that pastor what to preach. God didn't send you in there to run that church. He sent you in there to bless that church. Well, I blessed that church. I got them a letter of credit. That's a blessing yet? You got me credit? That isn't a blessing, that's a curse. A church ought not be in debt. A church ought not have to owe that Babylonian system out there anything, and there are churches that owe the mafia and don't even know it. because they borrow money from anybody that'll loan it. This whole thing has to change. Because we're at the place where the grandest, most huge transfer of wealth and assets and information and influence out of the hands of the world into the hands of the body of Christ to get this job done in these last days. It's in motion right now. But if this toiling, working attitude here is still your concept of things, and I have to go to the world to get it, you're not in place to manage God's economy. His economy is a whole lot bigger than this one is. Amen. This is not a $30 trillion economy. No. It has a $30 trillion debt. And that's not a sign of its net worth. That's the sign of its destruction. I was watching, somebody said on television, I was sitting there looking at a news broadcast, and they said, these people have gotten us in a debt that can't anybody pay off. And when he said that, I just responded. I said, yeah, you got that right. Whoa! The Spirit of God jerked me up on the inside. He said, don't you ever say that again. My mouth snapped to attention. I said, sir! Turn TV off. I said, sir, don't you ever say again that nobody can pay off a multi-trillion dollar debt. I can. And if you and my people will dare to believe me, I'll give you the money to pay it off. And whoever pays off the debt rules the country. Man alive, I was up out of my seat standing at attention saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I have faith in God. Bring it on, praise God. But your whole concept has to get off the world's way of thinking. Toil. Get four jobs if three won't do it. When are you going to sleep? I ain't got time to sleep. Get over here on the grace of God and repent because you ran up that big credit card bill and take on the same concept that you have over your checkbook over that credit card. And until you get that into your system, you throw that credit card away, you cut that thing up, I suggest you go build a fire and burn it at the stake. Anything to impress yourself that this is not your source. And then that credit card takes on the nature of convenience as a check. If I don't have the money in the bank, I don't write the check. If I don't have the money to pay the bill today, don't put it on the credit card. Ah, brother, God, don't start that whining and crabbing at me. You just get over that. Quit depending on all this mess out here. Spend some time before God, because I'm going to tell you right now, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to make the change. Are you going to go down with this thing? The system is going down. The nation isn't.
Amen.
The nation isn't. Now here's another problem in this. When you don't depend on God, If he's not your source, then you don't see his candidates when they come on the scene.
Hallelujah.
You don't recognize them. You don't see the good when it comes. Every disaster that ever comes, God provides, always has, always did for Israel, always for his covenant people. He will provide a way so that you don't have to go through that mess. But if you don't listen to him, you're going through it. He provided a way for Israel not to have to go through that desert. It was an 11-day walk from where they were to where they were going. And they spent 40 years going in a circle. Why? They wouldn't listen. They yow-butted their way into dying in the desert. Yeah, but. And there wasn't but two men that stayed with him. Caleb and Joshua. And they had to put up with that whining for 40 years, man. But they got out there and now they're 80 years old. And Caleb said, I don't care if I am 80 years old. Give me that mountain. Giants are no giant. I'll take it. Give me that mountain. He did and he took it. Amen. He said, I'm strong as I've ever been. Joshua was strong as he'd ever been. Amen. They saw it. The rest of them didn't. Now God provided candidates that know this system and what's wrong with it. They know God's system and proved it in the field. But no, we jumped up and ran another way. On both sides. Now, if the election had gone, instead of gone the Democratic way and gone the Republican way, if Mr. McCain, who's a good man, if he had been elected, it would have been a little bit different form, but it would have continued to have been that Babylonian system because he don't know what the other system is. Mr. Obama don't know what the other system is. I know from what the Lord showed me and told me concerning him, the problem is he's deceived. He thinks what he's doing is working, and it never has worked in the history of the world. But that's the way people do things in just their own thinking. If you're trained to think politically, then those are the directions that you're going to go. Oh, man. Now, you know, that Bible stuff ain't going to work in these modern times. Give me a break. That Bible stuff is the only thing that ever has worked. In any nation, any time in the history of this planet. Amen. So, I said all that to put you in the place to where you say, yes, amen, let's get this done, praise God, because God is training us, he's raising us up, he needs somebody to put this economy in their hands that know God and know how to pray. And it's happening. So, we saw this now and learned this from Peter's experience. And Jesus taught him this down through the years. Listen. Listen up. Listen to the Spirit of God, not just the junk around you. He said, who do people say that I am? Well, they'd been listening to all the people around. Well, some of them say you're John the Baptist. Come back from the dead. Some of you say you're Elijah. Who do you say that I am? Peter jumped up and shouted, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of Yahweh, God. Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Holy Ghost. How much better off would he have been in that boat out there that day if he'd have said, the Son of the Living God wants to go somewhere in my boat. Forget breakfast. Whatever he says. I heard what his mama told those guys over there in that wedding the other night down to Cana. Mm-hmm. She said, whatever he tells you, do it. And the water turned into wine. Peter, yes, sir. Whatever he tells you, do it. Yeah. Yes, sir. Cast out into the deep. Oh, yes, sir. Throw your net on that side. Yes, sir. You boys get all those nets, get them out of the wash tubs, get it out, get it ready. Do what I tell you to do. I know we worked all night long, but the master wants to go fish. Get your nets, understand? Get out here and get it done. This is the Son of the Most High God. This is the Anointed One, the Christ. What's the matter with you? Get them nets out of there. Been a different day, wasn't it? And later on, it was. Amen. It wasn't the last time they went fishing. Can you see the difference, though, between the two situations? And the latter is what you and I must be determined to be. I have faith in God. What he says, I'm going to do it. If it kills Hooter Bill's goat, I'm going to do it. I don't care what they say. I'm going to do it. Oh, Brother Coleman, they told Brother Roberts, you can't do this at your age. He said, what? They said, why don't you just relax and just finish out your days in peace and take your heart medicine? And then he said, he told me on the phone, he said, they're telling me not to take a risk. He said, listen, I've been taking risks for 60 years. He said, what if it did kill me? The other side of that is stunning. Amen. He stood to his feet. And Sister Evelyn's home going. They told me, they said, now, Brother Copeland, when you get to preaching the service, said, we don't much think he'll say anything, but, you might... ask him if he wants to. I said, yeah, well, I'd plan to do that. They said he might say a word or two. I asked him if he'd like to say something. And he got up out of his chair and he said, yes, I would. And they set a chair down up on the platform and he sat down in it. For 45 minutes... he talked on death and its destruction and how to overcome it. And the more he talked, the louder he got. And his final words were, he grabbed the arms of that chair and he said, if you think I'm going to waste away my years and my life sitting in this chair. And he pushed himself out of that chair and he said, I'll preach this gospel till I die. I jumped up and said, yeah, me too. And I talked to him a few days ago, and he said, Kenneth, I'm going back out again. He said, there's some churches in, but I'm going out preaching again. But for the last 7 years, he just sat there at home. He's had an average 55 to 60 ministers a week that come into his home, and he teaches them right there. And he laughed, and he said, Kenneth, some of them got sense enough to bring a little seed with them when they come. Wrote 2 books last year. In his mid-90s. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at this even further. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Make yourself a note of this. Now, this is teaching, this whole fourth chapter is just full of information concerning the blessing of Abraham and conduct under that blessing. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Now look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let him go to work. Working with his hands the thing which is good, or in other words, whatever God leads him to do. That's what this is all talking about. Let him work with his hands that which is good. Why? Why does he need to go to work? Does he need to be making a living? Is that why he's supposed to go to work? Is that what it's all about? Now, he's going to work one way or the other, but what is the motive behind his labor? Why is he working? Why are you working? Why are you on the job? Why are you looking for a job? What's your part in this economy? Let him work with his hands that which is good. In order to what? In order to eat? No. In order, look at it. In order to give to him that's in need. That's our work motive. To have to give. Now that indicates there, you ought to be giving everything you make.
That's right. Wow.
It's become the seed of your income. Ah, and that 100-fold is a whole lot more than what they're paying you down at Walmart's. Now, I mean, I've seen this happen. I've seen young people say, I ain't going to go down there and get me no $5 job at no hamburger place. I ain't going down there. Ain't nobody going to give me no job. I heard a young black man say that one time. And it cut my heart when he said it. And at the moment, I didn't know why. He just blurted it out when this TV reporter asked him on the street why he wasn't looking for a job. And he looked at her and he said, ain't nobody going to give me no job. And it cut me. And I said, Lord, what? He said, did you hear what he said? I said, yes, sir. He said, what did he say? I said, he said, nobody's going to give me a job. There ain't nobody going to give you a job unless he's the plantation boss. Jobs are not for giving away. And I heard the Lord say, plantation thinking. I said, what is that, Lord? And I began to pray in the Spirit. And it, I'm telling this in a few minutes, but this went over several days in praying and listening to the Lord and studying the Scripture and developing in this. And it came out like this. That boss man, you're enslaved there. Or you're a prisoner of war. My people were prisoners of war. We're the only race of people in this country that never could get out of prisoner of war status. We're still prisoners of war. Now, I could get really tore up and bitter over that. But rather than that, I just go preach in the reservations. And oh, I'm telling you, some of the finest young men of faith I ever met in my life. Hallelujah. So, what about that? Here's giving a job. You see that pile of brush over Now go over and get that stuff and pile it over behind that shed. Take the little sticks out and pile them in that big pile over there, and somebody come out there and burn them after a while. And when you get done, you come to me, I'll give you something else to do. I will give you something else to do. That's giving somebody a job. Why? You can't leave.
Right.
What is a job? This is what our young people have never been taught. The reason I'll pay you to do something. I have something here that I need to be taken care of. I will pay you, if you'll agree, to solve this problem for me. That's what a job is in this economy. Now, if you live in a socialist regime, bound up in that, the regime tells you, you will do what we think you're fit to do. Sound like the plantation to me. It's the same idea. I'm gonna give you something to eat. I'm gonna give you some clothes on your back. I'm gonna give you a house to live in. Forget about anything you can do on your own. You're gonna do what I tell you to do. Now I don't care what government form it is. It all came out of hell.
That's right.
What does God say? I'm gonna bless you, man. I'll give you an assignment, but I ain't gonna pay you for it. I'm gonna make you join there with the biggest thing going. You see the difference? You're my son. I don't pay you for nothing. I give you everything I have. I give you my power to get wealth. I give you my word. I give you my spirit. I give you my mind. I'll make you the smartest thing on the block if you'll listen to me. They'll all be coming to you, wanting to know how they can help you. That's faith living. Amen. That's the difference between somebody giving you a job and you being a problem solver. If I can solve your problem, I hope you've got the biggest problem that there has ever been. Because you're going to be willing to come across big time to get this solved. And if it's something that nobody but God can solve, I am in the pay. Ask Joseph if it ain't so. The king said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I had a dream. One of them said, I had a dream. I don't remember what it was. Tell me what my dream was. And then squirrels he had in there doing all this, you know. He said, what was my dream? They said, king, excuse me, if you could remember the dream, we might be able to tell you what the answer to the dream was. But man, hey, ain't nobody, even God, don't know what the dream was. It didn't go too well for them boys after that. The king had mind made up, somebody going to tell me what that dream is. So what did the man of God do? The man of God said, I'll tell you what the dream was, I'll tell you what the dream means, and I'll tell you how to fix it. Amen. Now, when Joseph did that, what happened? And Joseph said, pick you a man that can oversee all of this and prepare for the 7 years of famine and do this and do this and do this. He said, well, You're the man with God. You're the man with the blessing. You're the man that interpreted the dream. You're the man with the plan. You run it. Yeah. He came out of prison that morning and he left that place the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth. Why? It was a job so big nobody knew how to do it. And today was payday. Hey! And God got a payday for you. You walk into a place that looks pretty good, but you walk in there with the blessing of the Lord on you, praise God. You go from $4 an hour to about $40 a minute, man. Yeah. Why? The glory of God. This happened in the USSR. They were doing all this stuff on these Christians, and they were doing experiments on them. They would blow their brains with chemicals and keep them alive to see if their spirit could still talk in tongues. And they did. They were imbecilic. They had no brain functioning, just enough to keep them alive. But then they'd begin to pray, and just the power and the word of God would just come rolling out there. And it shook those people up so bad. And finally, somebody said, man, this is stupid. We're killing off the best workforce we've ever seen. They don't get drunk. They don't lie. God was working. You remember that huge railroad that they built all the way across, all the way through Siberia and all the way? Remember that big project? A lot of people died on that thing. But somebody had the bright idea, let's turn this thing over to these Christians. They're the hardest working people we've got. They don't drink. They come to work on time. They work hard. And they have this thing about them. Man, I mean, they can figure out the problems. And these folks went to work. And you know what happened? They preached all the way across Eastern Europe, everywhere the railroad crew went. They had meetings. The Soviet government didn't realize they were evangelizing all of Eastern Europe. It was a blessing at work. Right in the middle of that mess, and what little they knew about it. But their faith in God brought it out. Amen. I've met some of those people. And today, you won't hear about it much here. But there's a move of God through Eastern Europe. We were on television there before the USSR fell. You know why? We were on TV in Muslim countries that were satellite nations to the Soviet bloc. And we were on TV. A blonde-headed American woman preaching on television in a Muslim country. And you know why? We paid our bills on time in cash. They were using our money to stay on the air. They would have let us say anything we wanted to say. They could put up with an hour a day of anything. But they fell in love with the gospel. And in doing so, they fell in love with us. So what happened? What was doing that? The blessing of the Lord. We weren't trying to earn it. We were just believing God. And the blessing plan emerged. And things worked when it wasn't supposed to work. Not many people know the true story about the falling of the Berlin Wall. Some of Brother Hagin's books were smuggled into East Germany and got into the hands of some East German pastors. And they learned about faith. And be thou removed and cast into the sea. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Have faith in God. And they told Gloria and me that they walked. We didn't have the book in hand. You are coming down. In the name of Jesus, be thou removed and cast into the sea. You will fall and there will be no bloodshed. Year after year after year, and called bunk, the wall came down. Now, these same pastors came to Tulsa right after the wall came down. They came to Tulsa to Brother Hagin's headquarters. They wanted to see. So Gloria and I were going up there that day. So we went over to meet them and went to the meeting there that morning. After the service, we went to the same restaurant where they were, and their interpreter saw me coming. Brother Copeland, you and Sister Gloria, come here. Now, we want you to meet these people from East Germany, these pastors. And, of course, I'd heard in the service that morning what had happened. So, we walked over there, and he motioned to these Germans to come over. They walked over. And the man said, there's someone here I want you to meet. And they agreed, yes. Well, I'm standing there. I'm standing right in front of one of them, just as close as I am to this gentleman here. And he's standing there, and the interpreter's talking to him. And he turned around and looked at me and said, yes. And I said, well, praise God. He said, ah-ha! I thought, what did I do? Oh, he said, you're Brother Copeland. He'd never seen me. He had no idea what I looked like, but they'd smuggled our tapes in there. Oh, Brother Copeland, you're Brother Copeland. He grabbed me around the neck, grabbed Gloria, and we have listened to your tapes. What is that? The blessing of the Lord overwhelmed that wall. It wasn't politicians. Smile and pray for them. Let them think they did it. You know who did it. It's always the praying people that make the changes. Always. It was the prayer in the upper room where the Holy Ghost hit. And then it went to the street, not the other way around. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. So what is the purpose? Why are we employed? Why does God put us in a place and call us there and put us there? It doesn't make any difference what the salary is. It doesn't make any difference what the pay is. I'm going to take that in order to have to give to those in need. I'm going to tithe out of it. I'm going to give out of it. Praise God. But I'm looking for that hundredfold. Glory to God. I serve the Master. I don't serve the hamburger joint. I serve the Master. And in Him, I serve the people in this place. I serve the man that owns the place. I serve the man that's cooking. I serve the people that are pouring the coffee and doing this and that. I serve everybody there. If they assign me to go in there and clean out the men's room, praise God. Amen. If that's what Jesus wants, fine. And when the day is up, I get in my new car and go home. And I'm not leaving that place till Jesus says I'm supposed to go someplace else. Because I'm not there on account of that salary. Amen. I'm there because Jesus asked me to go there and bless that place. Did you get anything out of this? Amen. All right. Now, when you get into that, when you're there for that, that's the reason you're there. The next verse, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. You're a grace minister. You're a builder-upper. You're an edifier. You're not a griper and a condemner. Amen. That's who we are. We're supposed to prosper. And the boss man, I guarantee you there'll come a day when the boss man come out there and said, man, I don't understand you. Why, sir? I don't care what I tell you to do. You seem like you always do the best job, but nothing ever upsets you. Well, anything that upsets me, I'm not going to spew that out in there. I'm supposed to be saying things that edify, not that corrupt. Do you get it? Now, I'll never be able to continue to hold back corrupt communication if I don't have the right motive for being there. Amen. that's going to guard my mouth. I have committed myself to God that I will let no corrupting communication come out of my mouth. I'm not going to corrupt that place of unbelief. I'm not going to corrupt it with foul talk. I'm not going to corrupt it by griping about the president and the government and everybody else and the boss man that runs this place. No, sir. I'm telling you, this boss man's the finest man I ever met, and I'm praying for him. Yes, ma'am. And I'm praying for the government. I'm praying for the president. And people come up there and want to gripe about the union, want to gripe about this. I say, hey, boy, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't gripe about them people. No. They got problems enough that me and you adding to it. Now, you got problems? If you want me to, I'll pray with you about it. And God will fix it.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't going to be long. You're going to start getting people saved in there. And it'll spread through that little place. And it'll spread out to other people. And after a while, there are going to be people coming in the place. And they're going to be... It just changes everything. You're a seed going somewhere to grow. And whichever way it happens, that's what you are. If you're a corrupter, you're a seed going somewhere to grow.
Amen.
Wow. Whew. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 17. The man, the woman. I'll close with this. Because this is such a key issue. And it's right smack in our face. With just a little meditation and a little study, it's so clear. The 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 1 through 14, is the breaking down of the blessing of Abraham into individual actions of blessing. They are individual blessings that you can point to and read and receive them by faith. And you put them together and they make the blessing. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the field and I'm blessed in the city. In other words, I'm blessed everywhere I go. My children are blessed. My family is blessed. So forth and so on. He blesses my storehouse. And that kind of thing. But then you come down and then there's the list of the curse. And it breaks the curse down into individual calamities. Now, there's a mistranslation in there. And it says, the Lord will bring on you this or that. But it starts out with the proper translation of it. And then the English translators. You have to understand, originally the English translators that translated that didn't speak Hebrew. They knew Hebrew by religious training. They could translate it, but Hebrew wasn't spoken anywhere as first language because the nation of Israel didn't exist. And for centuries, they didn't understand that Hebrew had a permissive verb. Well, English verbs are active, causative, but Hebrew had both. Now, it's correctly translated like this. It says, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, keep his commandments, and do those things which he says, then all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Now that's correct. Then it says, however, if you do not obey, then all these curses will come on you and overtake you. That's correct. Then it comes down and says, the Lord will smite you. That's not correct. He's not the smiter. See? Well, we have that revelation then in the New Testament. He's not the smiter. But if you refuse to do what he says, it will come on you because it's out there. He is your protection. We've been redeemed from the curse. But if you don't walk in that redemption, if you violate the laws of love, You're not going to walk in that redemption. You can't. Because you opened the door to the curse. You can't walk in both of them at the same time. So choose the blessing and stay with it. Amen. Now, look at this again in Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. Now, what has this man done? That trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart depart from the Lord. He has walked out from under the blessing by trusting in things of man. That's what Ham and Japheth did, and Shem did not. He stayed with the blessing. And Abraham was his grandson. You know who else was kidding to him? That king that caused all the trouble. Chedorlaomer. And Abram killed him. But was Melchizedek upset with him about it? No. If he was, he got rid of it because he obeyed God and he came down and he blessed Abram. No, he knew who old Chedorlaomer was. He had violated the very covenant of God and become a despot king. Was a murderer. But yet still he was kin to Shem. This paints a picture, doesn't it? He had the blessing. It was on his family. But he chose not to walk in it, and he became a king, expecting everybody to serve him. He don't need God. And that Babylonian system is man meeting his own needs without God, and it's socialism under a lot of different names. Socialistic government. We all band together. We don't need God. I don't want any part of that, man. I need God. So, now there's a key here we're looking for. He shall be like the heath. He's like that stunted little bush out in the middle of the desert. He's naked and he's all alone. He'll not see when good comes. He'll inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the capital L, little capital O-R-D. The word there was Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the name above every name, the unspeakable name among the Jews later on. It wasn't here because they spoke it. But now notice this. Blessed is the man that trusts in the name. I'll go over here and say it. Maybe they'll get it. This is one way the Hebrews translate it. And still where we read Lord there, you'll read Hashem. The name. Now, Dan's a Hebrew scholar. Am I saying this right?
Yes, you are.
So that, and what they're saying is, he that trusts in the name.
Right.
What are they saying? Trust in the name. The man that puts everything on his covenant with God. The name. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Isaac called on the name of the Lord. And God appeared to him and said, I will. Can't get any stronger than that. I will perform the oath I swore to your father. That's where our prosperity is. That's the reason we're not hooked up to the system out here. I'm hooked up to a covenant of blood, and it is in the precious blood of Jesus. And my father will perform the oath that he swore to my father Abraham. I trust the name.
Yes.
Of Yeshua HaMashiach. I trust the name of Jesus Christ, King of Kings.
Yes.
And my blood brother.
Yes.
There's blood between us. And when I plead the blood, I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
David was a covenant man with Jonathan. They had a blood covenant on one another. And it stirred David up so bad. This is a covenant man. A covenant man has such a desire to do his part of a covenant. I mean, we have sworn oath between us. Our blood is mingled. I swore my allegiance to you and it's tearing him up, man. Jonathan did. And he's walking the floor. And he cried out, "Is there no descendant of Jonathan to whom I can show hesed?" Hesed. Covenant love. Mercy, goodness. Love, agape love beyond human ideas of love. It's just eating the man up. He's wanting to give so bad. And he doesn't have anybody in that covenant to give it to. He's a picture of Jesus. He's a man after God's own heart. And that's the way Jesus is. Finally, they said, "Yeah, there's little Mephibosheth. Tell me about him." Well, he got all messed up. All those lies they told in Saul's household about you, sir. And scared everybody out of their wits when they realized that you were winning and they were losing. And his nanny was running out. He was just a baby and she dropped him. And it injured him permanently, sir. And he can't walk very well. And he said, "Well, where is he?" And they said, "Well, he's down at Lodebar." Man, Lodebar was a pig pen. And he's living down there because he thinks David hates him. He's believing lies. He don't know he got a covenant with anybody. David said, "Get him!" Can you imagine what Mephibosheth must have thought? Here comes David's troops. I mean, here come the cavalry. They come in the loaded bar. All the flags are flying, and they're saying, "Where is this man Mephibosheth? We're looking for Mephibosheth. Have you seen this man? We're looking for Mephibosheth." And Mephibosheth says, "My God, they're going to have me for supper, man. What am I going to do?" But they got him. And they take him back in to the king, and he thinks, "Boy, I got to think quick. I got to do something. He's going to kill me. He's going to eat my liver, man." I mean, that's the stories he'd been told since he was a baby. And he's been told it's because of David that you can't walk good, man. So he throws himself in the floor, and he said, "I'm such a dog. I'm so unworthy to come before the king. Why would the king call for an unworthy dog like me?" Boy, he's trying to put on the calm big time. Got to do something because he's living like a beggar. He don't know. He's the richest man in town. He's been told lies about God, about David. David said, "Get him up from there. Get him up from there. Put the ermine robe on him." Ooh. Treated him like a prince of the realm. Put this fur robe around his little crippled self. Whoa! If he's got to have crutches, they're going to be made out of gold, brother. And he turned to everybody in there and he said, "Mister, you and your family now serve him. You understand? And you're going to go down to his property that I have saved because of his father Jonathan. You see this scar?"
Yeah.
and you're going to work his fields. And you're going to bring him the money from the crops. And he's not going to spend his own money. He lives in my house and he eats at my table. Is this understood in here? And they say, oh, yeah, King. Yeah, Mephibosheth is saying, hung on, hung on, hung on, hung on. Oh, this ain't nothing like I thought. No, baby. What is this? And he sits down at the table and they slide that golden plate up in front of me. He says, my Lord, that plate's worth more than I ever seen before. And I can just see David. Now, let me tell you something, son. See that scar on my wrist? Going all the way up into my hand. Your daddy had one, though. I swore to him I'd keep you. And I'm going to perform the oath that I swore to your father. And Jesus is saying,
come on.
You see this scar in my hand? You see this? You see this cut in my side? And your heavenly Father speaks up and says, that's my beloved Son, and I will perform the oath that I swore to him. And by his stripes, you are healed. And I'll tell you something else. I'll give you all things to enjoy richly, and I'll supply your every need according to my riches in glory, son.
That's it.
Not your little job. Yeah, hey, hey! And then the devil starts coming in and telling you that God don't want you to prosper. That's when you go strap on that armor. And now what'd you say? You get your netty line hind end out of here. You understand? Take your yeah butt and get out of my house. I'm supposed to prosper. I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and they're supposed to recover. I'm supposed to bless this nation. I'm supposed to be the one here. Not you, Mr. Devil. Get out. And rattle that sword at him a little bit. And I'll tell you another thing, Mr. Satan. By the Almighty God, I'll walk up your back. I'll tread upon you. And get your hands off my family. I'll not tolerate you. You and your rude talk about Jesus. And telling me that my father don't want me to prosper. Telling me that my father wants me to keep this sickness for a while. I ain't keeping this sickness. I'm going to feed it to you, Jack. You don't get out of here.
Come on, that's right.
Blessed is the man.
Yeah.
That trusts in the name.
Glory.
He's like a tree planted by a running river, and his roots are deep in the love of God. And then when the King James said his leaves are green, and look it up in the Hebrew, it says his leaves are luxurious. And they never turn brown, thank you. And he doesn't know when the drought comes because he's not depending on the rain. He lives out of the river. Wow, glory to God, I tell you. Stand up and give the Lord a praise shout tonight. working for a living.
I'm working for a giving.
I'm a giver.
I'm a receiver.
I'm never a taker.
Except in faith.
Oh, I have faith in God.
I believe.
I will.
I take it.
I have it.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm a forgiver.
I forgive.
I forgive.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed coming in.
I'm blessed going out.
I wear the armor of the Almighty God.
I cast down imagination.
I take into captivity every thought.
And all of my thoughts are obedient to the blessing.
Jesus is my Lord.
He's my Savior.
Baptized me in the Holy Ghost.
He's my healer.
He is also my Melchizedek.
My high priest.
He blesses me.
He receives my tithe.
Now listen now.
And say it. And
he
opens
the windows
of heaven
and pours out blessing
that I don't have room enough to contain.
Woo! Somebody shout amen!
Hallelujah!
Woo!
Oh, glory to God!
That's who you are. And that's what you are.
In the morning. And Monday. All during next week. Wherever you go. You just think, hallelujah.
Wherever I go. Whatever God assigns me to do. I'm working for giving.
My job is to give.
That's my job. That's my job. Is to give.
And wherever he sends me, that's what I do.
See, I don't... If you hire me, I don't work for you. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. That's my source. I'm here to bless you. I work for him. Yeah. He's my employer. I do whatever he wants done. And I thank God he don't pay me for it. No. I obey him so that he can bless all the works of my hands.
That's what is exchanged between he and I.
He doesn't pay me. He doesn't pay me for what I do.
No, no.
The exchange is he blesses all the works of my hand. That's far more than anybody could pay me.
That's right.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Give the Lord another praise and another rejoicing. Glory to God. Come on, guys. Let's sing it one more time.
Say it again. I'm a believer.
I'm a,
believer.
I'm a giver.
I'm a,
giver.
I'm a receiver.
I'm a receiver.
I have faith in God.
I have faith in God.
Hey, hey, hey. Glory to God.
Amen.